Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Incredible. Incredible. All right. Holy Spirit, help. Because you are the helper. That's just who you are. I need help. In Jesus' name, amen. Some people ask me sometimes, do you need help? And I said, I've been helped and I'm still like this. So. ever and being transformed. Amen. Going from glory to glory, strength to strength. All right. I'm starting a new series today called My Church. My Church has a lot of facets. Where this came from is that toward the beginning of the year, the very first of the year, the staff and I began to talk about how we felt God really just putting his finger on the subject of his church right now. And the enemy has come, as we all know, hard against the church. And it's time to stand up. And I'm seeing a rise of athletes, people in the seven mountains of culture, standing up now and saying, you know, when they ask him questions, I give thanks to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're being a little more overt about it, and I think that's great. But what we see is we see major networks editing out what they said. Cancel culture is very busy trying to cancel Jesus out. We've seen over the last many decades the elimination of Jesus and his word from the public arena, from government, from church, from all of these things. And that was never God's intention. I want you to know that. And he was very demonic and insidious when he came against the church during COVID and tried to scatter everyone. You know, thank God we have Zoom. Thank God we have these other ways to connect in. But I'm telling you right now, that is not the way God intended for us to operate as the church. And it's time to get back together. Amen. It's time to get, you know, what happened today, this morning, in the presence of the Holy Spirit together is what God intended. This is where we receive strength. This is where we receive a prophetic word. And, you know, you got to be there. It's different. It's different if you're, you know, if you receive that online, that's great. God can work in that. But there's something about being assembled together that gives us exponential power. So as just as to preface this, you know, obviously, I've been called as a leader to equip God's church, you, all of us, myself and you included, to do the work of the ministry. How many of you were here last week for Pastor Sarah's ordination? Most of you were here. Today you might hear a scripture. I may preface some of it again, because we can hear these things over and over again. If we don't know what our purpose is, if we don't know what we're doing, if we don't know what the church is, if we don't know why it exists, if we don't know how to do it, right, how to facilitate it, we're going to be lost. And on Vision Sunday, the scripture was that, hey, without a vision, without us knowing what our mission is and what our purpose is, people start to scatter and they begin to aimlessly wander around and they begin to stumble and their lives are destroyed. And God never intended for the church to be scattered and stumbling around and for our lives to be destroyed. He intended for us to be the most powerful agent on the earth because it represents him and he's all powerful. Amen. And so you're going to hear me say some things, not to beat up the church, but to call up the church in this season, which we are a part of. I want you to say this. I am a part of God's church. And so my church is his church, and his church is my church. His goal and his mission is my mission, and my mission, my goal is his mission and his goal. You understand, we are one and the same, period. And so it is not optional if you are a believer to not be a part of the church. And people today have my restaurant, they have my job, they have my this, they have my that, but their kids, if you ask them, where do you go to church? I don't know. They don't have a church, right? You need to be a part of the church. You need to take ownership of it, and you need to understand. I hate it when someone says to me, Pastor Verna, I love going to your church, and I'm going. They've been going here for 6 years. Why is it still my church and not theirs? You understand? I don't like that language. Because at some point, we need to take ownership of it. Our children need to know. We go to Soul Harvest Worship Center. That's our church. But that church is not the whole of the church. I mean, my dad taught me this from the time we were little kids. We visited a lot of other parts of the body of Christ, but we were taught, man, church is not optional in this family because Jesus is not optional. It's just not. And so, you know, sometimes we face all kinds of hell trying to get together with the so-called church. I'm going to cover a broad spectrum of what it means and what it is, but I'm going to teach and we're going to learn. Because out of this church that God has established on the earth, we get well, we get healed, we get blessed, we get community. We get all the stuff that church strategists say you got to do to grow the church. You know what Jesus said? He didn't say none of that. He said, lift me up. Amen. Lift me up and I'll draw them all to me. Amen? And if people aren't being drawn to a specific church, maybe it's because you're not lifting Jesus up enough. Or maybe it doesn't look like Jesus enough. He didn't say, I'll draw all men to programs. I'll draw all men to the latest, you know, Christian thing that's going on out there. He said, I'll draw them to me. And what I've learned is if you present Jesus, people will be drawn to him. They just will. And just so guess what? We're going to continue to lift up Jesus. We're going to continue to hold up the banner of his name. We're going to continue to honor his presence because he's not a statue without a personality and without presence. Amen. And as we do that out of this, I believe in this season, this church, this part of God's church is going to blow up. Period. So the definition of what? Sometimes we just need to look at the words. What, why, and how today is the name of the message. The definition of what, it's a noun. It means the true nature or identity of something or the sum of its characteristics. So what is the church? The church is God's instrument for personal and global transformation. That's a big assignment. We are supposed to be world changers. We're supposed to be transforming the world, not the world transforming us. Amen? Amen? That's why Paul said, don't be conformed to the world. There's an opposing system that's trying to get us to submit to its ways, its ideologies. It even has its own theology. Theo, God, deity, lowercase, they have elevated so many things, men, people, all these things as gods, right? The world has gods, has idols, idolatry, and all these other things. We have God, one God, amen? And we are supposed to be God's governing body that is meant to equip, disciple, and mobilize. Think about that. Equip, disciple, and mobilize, means get out there, to inject every part of society, government, business, every part. So a lot of the text and a lot of this I'm taking from a book called The Ecclesia by Ed Silvoso. Ed Silvoso, if you want to get the book and begin to read it along with this series, I think it's a great book for every person in the body of Christ to get a hold of. And that word ecclesia I'm going to get into next week, but it means the governing body of Christ on the earth. So the definition of why. So what is the reason, right? The nature or identity of something, or the sum of its characteristics. It's what it is. What is the sum of the church's characteristics? What is it? It's Jesus. If you were to sum everything up about the church, We should come up with one word, and that's Jesus. What is it? The body, the church, is Jesus. Amen? This should be so like Jesus. That's our whole assignment, is to grow until we grow in his likeness. Until people walk in to this house, they walk into your house. They encounter you and they say, I met God. Amen? I met God. I didn't get introduced to a religion that I'm going to join and all these things, but I met God. There was something about that person so magnetic, and I keep coming back. Even though I don't really like religion, I like them. Because Jesus is likable. Amen? And so what is, it's Jesus. This is his body. So when you say, I don't have to go to church, what you're saying is, I don't have to go spend time with Jesus. Church is optional for me. I did that. I've been there and done that. What you're saying is, I've been there and done Jesus. I'm kind of over that. We have to learn that Jesus and his church are inseparable. You can't live a life disconnected from the body of Christ and say, I'm connected to Jesus. Because that's not true. We together come together. Yes? As his body, Jesus is representative on the earth. And the more we're together, the more power that we have. Yes, there's corporate power. And we see people failing right now in their walk with the Lord because they have separated themselves from Jesus. I'm going to stop saying the body of Christ. I'm going to say from Jesus. You can't do that and do well. What happens is we see people who come in who haven't been transformed as long as us. Hopefully you've been getting transformed as you go along. And they bump into our human brokenness. They get upset. There's strife. There's division. All of these things, right? And they say, I'm done with the church. What you're saying is, I had an issue with a brother or sister in the Lord. And now I'm giving up on Jesus because where they are in their transformation process, I don't like. Deal with yourself. Pray for them and stay connected to Jesus. Amen? Because the church is a hospital. I should say that Jesus is a hospital. Yeah? What happens when people come to a hospital? They get healed. They get taken care of. They go into triage. The church is a place where broken people come. If you think you're going to come into the presence of Jesus and not bump into someone's woundedness, you're fooling yourself. Okay? I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to rush. I'm just going to say it. You're going to bump it. You got to get in this in your head. You're going to bump into people's woundedness. But you don't disconnect yourself from wounded people because you're wounded too. You don't disconnect yourself from Jesus because you bumped into his wounds. You come and you bring the healing anointing that you carry and you show up because you are the solution to these other parts of fractures in the body of Christ. You need to be present. Jesus needs you, his healers, to be present. So that's what we're doing. That's what the church is. It's Jesus. It's not a country club. I like country clubs. I like all that. But this isn't a social group where we just come and socialize and, you know, we never have any kind of problems and everything gets served up to us in five-star quality. And yes, we get good meals around here. But you know what? This is a house full of kids. And I had a house full of kids last night, kids and adults. And it gets loud. And it gets messy. Amen? And stuff happens and stuff is said. And you got to tell them to stop running through the kitchen before they knock something off and glasses all over the floor. There's all kinds of things that happen in the house of the Lord. Jesus' family is loving and they're loud and they're happy. And sometimes they argue, and sometimes they act like kids, and sometimes the adults need to slow them down. But we still need to stay together. We don't kick people out of our family because sometimes they're doing things they shouldn't do. Amen? We teach, and we train, and we do all of that. But we need to see the value of what it is we are doing and what it is we are a part of. And we are a part of Him. Why are we? Why? How many of you have kids that say, why? Why, Mama, Dad? Why? The definition of why is this: for what reason, cause, or purpose something is done, achieved, etc. There's a reason why we're here. There's a reason, there's a purpose, there's a cause for why Soul Harvest exists. It wasn't me one day just going, I need a job. I think I'll just start a church. If you ever think that and you're not called, I would tell you to shoot yourself in the face, but that would be an ungodly thing to say. Let me tell you something. That is not a good reason. You will have a job. You always have a job. Everybody has a job within the body of Christ. But if you think you're going to get into so-called ministry for just a paycheck, it's going to cost you everything you make and that and more. Amen. Yeah, it just doesn't end. It doesn't end. And you're going to have to lean on God and walk in faith and weep in the bush. Let me tell you, you're going to have to go cry out to God and deal with yourself over and over and over again. But there's a reason why we exist. There's a reason why we're here. There's a reason why we gather. And I'm going to talk more about that. So it's the reason. I want you to say, I have a reason to show up for church. There's a cause. There's a purpose for my connecting to Jesus. The church, the governing body of Christ and Jesus, these words cannot be separated. The sum of all the characteristics of you and you and you and you and all of you, the reason is to present Jesus to our families, to the region, and it's important. And whether your gathering, your group that you are worshiping together with is 10,000 or it's two. Jesus didn't say, where you are by yourself, there I am with you. He said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. What did he say? He said, we're two. You see there? You can't even say you're a group without two. Where two or three are gathered. So this thing about gathering is so important to God. Where two or three gather together in my name. Where? There, at the place of gathering, there I am in their midst. Amen? So the manifestation of Jesus in his presence by the power of the Holy Spirit, it shows up when two or more are gathered. And what's happened is we look around at churches that have 10,000, 5,000, whatever. And we minimize the power of God based on how large we are numerically. And we say, we're not successful. We're just a small, I hate this. Don't ever say this about Soul Harvest. We're just a small church. Listen to me. We are mighty and we are powerful. And small or large does not indicate power. It's agreement. Come on, you guys. It's agreement. It's the characteristics of God. It's us looking at his word and saying, I submit to his word, even when it's hard, even when all hell is breaking loose, me not getting together with someone else who believes in God, who will pray with me, is not an option. I got to show up where there's gathering because there Jesus is in the midst and stuff is going to start happening. It's going to start happening for me. It's going to start happening for my family. It's going to start happening for my children. Got to show up. I should have called it, you got to show up. But today I called it what, why, and how. What is my church? You should be able to answer all these questions. What is my church? My church is the body of Christ. I've taken ownership of my church. Yeah? I've taken ownership of Jesus. Because Jesus bought me. And he owns me. He owns me and I own him. Let me tell you, I own it. I'm a part of Jesus. Why do I go to church? There's a reason. There's a cause. There's a job to be done. There's something to be achieved as a part of Christ's body. And I have an assignment, and I have a role in it, and I'm not going to just say, well, I don't feel like it. How many of you would still have a job if you got up and treated your job as optional as you do Jesus? I'm going to preach it. I love everybody, but it's gotten to the point where it's just optional. Yeah? My head hurts. Ah, my nose is running. You know what? People will show up for work because there's a paycheck attached to that. And they'll take whatever cold medicine they will take. Because you can't afford to not go to work because you got to pay your bills. You'll drag yourself out of bed and show more responsibility to show up for the paycheck, that reward, than you will for the eternal rewards that God has when we get up and do the work of the ministry. We cannot treat Jesus as less of an option, which he's not an option, as we do other things. Amen? We have got to dig down deeper and say, look, there may not be money falling out of the sky today, but listen, there are rewards and there are countless things that come from getting up and showing up and gutting through whatever I got to gut through to show him that he's number one than anything I get from showing up at the job where I get treated like, anyways, you know, I mean, there. Yes, God wants us to work. Yes, he's given us an assignment. And yes, work is a blessing from the Lord. But getting involved in the house of God and doing the work of the ministry will pay you more than you will ever receive on this earth. Amen? You still love me? I hope so, because I love you. The definition of how, let's go on. It is a question concerning the way or manner of which something is done or achieved, a way or manner of doing something. So how do we do this? And I'll continue to go on and teach and teach and teach in this in the next few weeks, but Ed Silvoso, I love this is just from the introduction of the book, and he asked all these questions. If the church is so important, why did Jesus mention it only twice in the Gospels? And why is there neither a command nor instructions in the Bible on how to plant one? These are intriguing questions that beg new questions, such as how was the New Testament church able not just to survive, but also to radically transform the hostile social and political environments into which it was born? How did it set in motion a process that impacted nations in a relatively short time without buildings, professional clergy, religious freedom, or social status? And why, in comparison, does it appear that the church's influence on social matters today is progressively diminishing? These are important questions. How can this be the case if Jesus assured his followers of two dynamic truths? Jesus assured his followers, this is point B, of two dynamic truths. He said, when he is lifted up, all men will be drawn to him. What we have in the so-called cold cultural church today is that we have people lifting up men and people are being drawn to them. So when their celebrity leader, that they become intoxicated with many times their demonic charismatic charisma, falls, now they can't go to Jesus anymore, the church, because their leader that they idolized and put on a pedestal that they could only receive from him has fallen into sin or something else, and now they're devastated. You know what? That is not going to happen here. Because if you can't receive from him, in spite of the frailties of those you see who are trying to do the work of the ministry and take, I'm not giving excuses, but trying, taking every kind of hit you can imagine, you have put too much of your faith in them. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. In them instead of him. This is why you need to have your face in the Word. And this is why we need more text from the Word rather than these, well, that church is trending because they're teaching this little tickle feel-good message. So let's teach that for a while. Come on. The enemy is going to continue to try to bait-click you and feed you what feels good to your flesh. When you show up in a real place where the Spirit of God is, you're going to feel convicted over sin. You're going to hear the truth, but it's going to feel so good. It's going to challenge your flesh, but you're going to say, you know what? There's something about that that I feel is bettering my life. It's tightening up all the loose things in my life. Amen? I need more of that. There'll be a conviction against pride. There'll be a humility that starts to settle down on your life that, you know what? That's challenging a cycle in my life that's been destructive in my life. It's been destructive against my family. And even though it's tight, but it's right. And you know there's love in that house, and I know I need that. Amen? I need that. So we got to lift him up. And then B2, he said that Jesus said this, we are his church, his ecclesia, and that we will do greater works than he did. Greater works. Why? Because Jesus was one man on the earth operating in power and authority. He started giving his authority before his crucifixion and ascension to his disciples. And then he said to them, go. So he said, I give you all power and authority. And he didn't send them out by themselves. Bible students, come on. He said, I, in Luke 10:19, saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He fell. Where did he fall? He fell to the second heaven into the earth realm where we exist. He saw him fall down here so he can mess with us. He said, but, come on, that happened. You're going to have to deal with them. But I have given you all, not some, all power and authority over all the enemy's power so that nothing he tries by any means shall harm you. Now, get together two of you, because where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. He said, so I'm going to put you together. Now you go out there and you start to make disciples, not a disciple, disciples, multiples, amen? And you begin to anoint them and pray for them and teach them to be equipped and filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with power. And you go, all of you, and begin to make disciples of not some nations, all nations. How are we doing? When you start to think about it, like, we're supposed to be discipling a nation? Absolutely. Yes. I'm trying to get us to think bigger. So, we got a big assignment. A lot of work to do, amen? Could it be that in our generation, the fullness of the real Jesus has yet to be discovered? The answer to that is, oh yeah, right? What about the actual depth of your calling? The magnitude of your calling, not just Pastor Verna's. Many of you have always said to me, Pastor Verna, I'm so thankful for your yes. Your yes affected my life. If it weren't for you saying yes, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Well, what about your yes? Could it be that your family and your city has yet to experience the full manifestation of Jesus inside of you, of your calling, of your words, of your impact, of your yes? Why are we not experiencing the evangelistic growth reported in the Gospels, where everybody, this is it, everyone that ran into those groups of two, three, four, the Bible says they were forcing their way into the kingdom. I believe we're about to see an explosion. You know what we saw on Catherine Kuhlman, those of us who were old enough to be around these singular ministers that God put that level of glory on, was that they would pray and they would worship until the glory of God came. They wouldn't even step out and say a word until the manifestation of the Holy Spirit was upon them. And you know, their cry, and I think of, you know, so many, I'm not going to go and list them all. But I've been in the tent meetings and the crusades, and I've been around so many of them, and I wasn't old enough to have met Smith Wigglesworth, but I met his disciples. I was mentored by the greats' disciples. And we say they were the greats. I'm here to tell you, you're the greats. Not just them. But one of the things they did was they prayed that the people that came would come carrying the glory in, and that anybody that didn't would be so engulfed with the presence and the glory of God that they would have no other option but to fall at Jesus' feet and worship and give their life to him. And many of them, and I was there and I heard Lester Summerall pray. I heard A.A. Allen pray. I heard these greats pray. And they would say, Jesus, this is your meeting. Don't let one person see me. Let them see you, Jesus. When they look at me, hide me behind the veil of your presence. Oh God, may they see you. I don't want them to hear my words. Oh God, if they don't hear from you, they've just heard a man talk. I don't want these to be my words. God, fill my mouth. Fill my mouth with an inspired word from heaven. I don't want them to hear from me today. Oh God, what I have to say won't change their life. Correct them, Lord. Direct them, Lord. Fill them with your presence, Lord. Encourage them, inspire them, change them, ignite them, oh God. Why is it that we have in every city, sometimes every neighborhood, a representation of Jesus? Last time I checked, I drove around this city. I don't see churches of Satan. Churches of Satan are less visible. They are hidden because the cult does that. They hide. Why is it that we have a representation all over the cities and all over the nation, and we have Bible belts and we have this and we have that, and I've been in the Amazon and I've been in the jungle and I've been where roads are not even there, and I've been down in there, and there's this church and there's that church and there's this church? Why are there so many places that are called His church and we have so little effect? When he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm here to tell you there are gates of hell. Everywhere I look, there are gates of hell. But they don't own the gates of my city. They don't own the gates of my schools. They don't own the gates of my house. They don't own the gates of this nation. They don't own it. And God is raising up his true body in the earth. And we need to put more emphasis on it. Amen. I feel the anointing all over me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the anointing. You are the anointing that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. You are the one that turned a bunch of scared disciples into bold ministers. You are the one that added 3,000 people to the church daily, such as should be saved. I thank you, Lord, that you're adding daily all over the world. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you, Father, would ignite your church afresh. Breathe upon her right now. Breathe upon her. Send the wind of the Holy Spirit. Send fire. Send fire through every pew. Oh, God, would you begin to purge the pews and the pulpits of this world? I praise you and I thank you, Lord. You told me a long time ago you were going to get the pimps and the prostitutes out of the pulpit. Those that were pimping out your word, that wouldn't tell the truth to your bride. God, I thank you that you are elevating the pews right now. There is a coming out of your bride. She is coming out of the closet. She is coming out of the house. She is coming out. She is coming up, God. I praise you and I thank you that you have called us to be a part of what you are doing on the earth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I thank you that the gospel is not without effect and it is not without power. I thank you, Lord, that your word is still snatching those out of the fire, those that are perishing. I ask you to bring our sons and our daughters and those that have backslidden and those that have disappeared from your house back, oh God. Fill these altars again. Fill them again, oh God, and use us. Use us, oh Lord. I pray complacency and distraction and worldliness and idolatry and anything else that has been elevated above who you are out of our lives, oh God. Forgive us for just doing religious stuff without your power. Holy Spirit, we do repent. We repent to you. We ask you to forgive us for all the ways that we have grieved you. You are beautiful, and you are wonderful, and you are marvelous, and you are glorious, and you are God, and we honor you as such. Father, draw your people. Draw all those that have been destined and predestined and called. Draw them, oh God, not to buildings without power, but to people with it. God, draw them. Draw them in the coffee shops. Draw them in the bank. Draw them in the grocery store. Draw them in the highways and the byways. God, help us to open our mouth in power and share the good news of who you are. I bless these loved ones. I bless them to open their mouth, to prosper, to multiply,
this is your bride,
and to bring you the reward of your suffering. Thank you, Jesus. You know, stand up to your feet right now. If you know someone that you want to hold up in prayer, just lift your hands up, that doesn't know Jesus. I'm telling you right now, if you are in this room or you are listening to me, no matter when you're listening, if this is live or it's sometime in the archives, the Bible says there's no distance in the Spirit and time stands still for you when you decide that I am going to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And he says, speak your faith. Don't just believe it in your heart. Speak it out loud. He says, if you do that, if you believe in your heart, then I'm your Lord and I'm your Savior and you need me. If you say it out loud and you receive me, that you will be saved. You will be saved. What, saved from what? You'll be saved from hell, which is eternity without Jesus. The reality is that much of the church today doesn't even mention hell. Jesus preached about hell more than he did the church. Right? The truth is, without him, you'll spend eternity apart from him. It was never intended for you. He did everything he could to save you from that. He said, I came to give you life. I did. I came to give you life. No one can give you life but Jesus. And he says, put your faith in me today, and I'll write your name in the Lamb's book of life. I will give you eternal life, and you will spend it eternity with me. Say this, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me, to give me your mercy and your grace and eternal life. I believe you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin, and I receive you as my Lord, and I receive eternal life from you today by faith. I know I will never be the same. In your name, Jesus, amen and amen and amen. You should be able to you should be able to pray for anybody and lead them to the Lord. And I encourage you, don't be bashful. Share Jesus with whoever you meet, any way you can, everywhere you go. And watch what God does through you. Amen. I love you all.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.